Welcome back, gamers, to Budget Arcade, the number one free-to-play video game podcast in the world. Scott would be so proud of me for getting that correct. My name is Mark, and if you're listening, it's an off week. And I am solo again. However, I've grown quite fond of the solo podcast that I've been doing, and as each other week goes by, I tend to get more comfortable in talking to myself, essentially. So, in these off weeks, we like to talk video games. We like to talk, you know, what we're playing, what's coming out, what's new in video games. We had, just the other week, we had an interview about cryptocurrency and video games. And so, if you missed that, go back, a couple episodes, and give that a listen. It's really good information. Scott did a great job interviewing that dude. So, this week, I wanted to do something a little different. And I'm going to be reviewing the AAA PlayStation 5 exclusive Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart.
Dr. Nefarious just crowned himself emperor of this dimension.
We've got to get him and us out of here. But without the Dimensionator...
I think we have to build a new one. The boundaries between the universes are coming undone.
Yo-ho, our time has finally come.
It works!
Wow. Another Lombax.
Wait, I have to find my friend.
Where are you, Clank?
You okay, Bolts?
You came after me.
The video game that, and to my mind, is the it's the prettiest, the most immersive gameplay experience that I've had. I don't know if I want to say ever, but in quite some time. It's definitely the most gorgeous game I've ever played. So it is a third person shooter slash platformer developed by Insomniac Games, who you may know from all the other Ratchet and Clank titles, as well as Spider-Man, some Spyro games, Resistance. They're an in-house Sony developer now, since Sony purchased them a little while back, and they have gone all out with Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart. Just great. I mean, I could probably talk an hour about how I felt playing this game, and I will touch on that a little bit, but the fact that this game wasn't a launch title is a bit baffling to me, is because this is firmly game of the year 2021 for me right now. And I've played a decent amount of 2021 releases. And so, you know, and I know Sony probably didn't want it to be launch titles because it was probably still getting cleaned up in post, and they may have been adding some things, you know, that they were getting feedback about. But, you know, the game plays like a lot of other Ratchet and Clank titles. It has, you know, strafing and then the gunplay. You collect bolts. You know, there's weapon and health upgrades. And then, you know, your collection of raritanium, which is what you use in game to upgrade your weapons and other types of gadgets in game. Here, your main characters are still Ratchet, Clank, but then you also have a female Lombax character, and Lombax is what Ratchet is. and Rivet is his altered, another dimension alter ego. But she's a female Lombax. And so the game traverses all of their the interactions between both Ratchet and Rivet, and it's almost like two games in one, is because you play as Ratchet with, you know, your sidekick Clank, and then you play as Rift, and Rift also has a what was her name? Anyways, so you play as both of these characters, and really you play as all the characters. Ratchet, Clank, Rivet, and there's a new female, a female robot sidekick. I forget her name for the life of me. But the game allows you to play all of these roles across a 20-hour story. And while the story is heartfelt and sprawling, and it, you know, it introduces a lot of different worlds and races of aliens and just different characters, and some of them are memorable, some of them are just like, haha, that's funny, let's move on. But you know, and it also has, you know, it's the villain, Dr. Nefarious, who ends up causing this rift in the dimensions, and gets introduced to Emperor Nefarious. And your main goal in the game is to defeat Emperor Nefarious across all these different dimensions. And so you have all of this. Just run down the plot real quick. You know, Ratchet and Clank are fighting Dr. Nefarious. They're being recognized for this for their, you know, universal accomplishments, and Dr. Nefarious comes in, starts attacking them, and attacks this heroes parade that this planet is throwing them, and he's attempting to steal the Dimensionator. You know, the device that allows Ratchet and Clank to travel between dimensions. And so, long story short, Ratchet ends up accidentally shooting the Dimensionator, which causes multi-dimensional rifts to be opened. And, you know, these rifts end up sucking Ratchet, Clank, and Nefarious to an alternate universe. And then the Dimensionator explodes, essentially. And it ends up causing a bunch of problems across multiple dimensions. And Ratchet and Clank end up separated from each other. Nefarious ends up, you know, essentially in a palace, where people start calling him Emperor, and he's like, what? I'm not the Emperor. And then he's introduced to Emperor Nefarious. And so Ratchet goes on this, you know, this discovery of, you know, where is he and what time is he? You know, what dimension is he in? And he encounters this resistance group, the resistance group, and who's been attempting to fight Emperor Nefarious, and this character named Phantom, Glitch, that is her name, damn. So this guy Phantom, who's a part of this resistance, ends up introducing Ratchet to this female robot, Glitch. They form a bond. So the rest of the game is spent where you're You're with, when you play as Ratchet, you're with Glitch, and when you play with as Rivet, you're with Clank. And so it's an interesting dynamic, is because Rivet is a lot more inquisitive, and she's, I forget who she was voiced by, but the voice actress, you know, gives her a lot of emotion and a lot of purpose. There's a lot of purpose behind the voice of Rivet, and that makes it so worthwhile when you have great voice acting in anything. It doesn't matter if it's an animated movie or a video game. You know, having great voice acting will always throw your stuff over the top. And if it's a good game, great voice acting allows it to become a great game. If it's a great game, great voice acting makes it an all-time great. I mean, this game's not all-time great to me. It's just not long enough. It's not, it doesn't have the different, you know, it's very linear. You know, it's also pretty easy. I found the gameplay, while chaotic, like a lot of other Ratchet and Clank titles, you know, there's always ways to win a gunfight, you know, and that's what these games are known for. They're known for chaotic, just over the top, you know, kind of bat poop crazy, you know, levels where you're hopping and you're strafing to the side and you're jumping on a rail, and then you're switching a gun and you're firing a rocket while these UFOs are firing at you, and you got some pirate dudes running at you with swords, and these are little robots that are spinning around, and if you jump down, they're gonna get you with their blades, and these rockets are coming back at you, and so you have to whip out this laser gun and shoot the dudes with a laser, and then, you know, launch some bombs at these other dudes. It's chaotic, and Insomniac does a great job of containing the chaos. The chaos never feels overwhelming. I've played games before, a lot of first-person shooter titles, which this is not. This is very third-person. But a lot of first-person, you know, wartime shooters can get very chaotic. And, you know, rather than engage in gunfights, you know, you're just trying to get cover and figure it out. Cover in this game does exist. It's just not, what's the word? It's not infinite. You can grab cover, but it only lasts you for so long. It's because the enemy weapons and what they're shooting at you will wear the cover out, and eventually it'll go away. It'll explode. But one thing that this game does introduce, as far as the gameplay goes, is these rift pockets. And, you know, on the PS5 controller, the DualSense, you press the L1 button, and that's usually the grappling button. You know, you jump and you can grapple on something. You press L1 for that. These rifts, and they'll be in different places in the immediate area, and you can only access them when you're close enough. The rift will turn like an orange color, and you can press L1 and you automatically grapple to that rift, and it'll put you through the rift, and essentially you've just passed through a dimension and to the other side of that rift, which is the level that you're in. It's a unique way to play the game, play different levels, because you it's another added feature to the chaos that goes on with this game. And the DualSense controller, because these gunfights can last quite a while, where you're constantly running out of ammo, picking up other ammo, switching guns with the weapon wheel, which is very fluid, by the way. the weapon wheel in this game is super fluid. You know, you hit the triangle and you select whatever weapon with the right stick, and you press triangle again, and you're right back into the gameplay, and it's never cumbersome. It's not like, oh, I got to change my gun, so I got to go to a menu, access another menu. It's very fluid. But the DualSense with the haptic feedback of the triggers, while the feedback isn't heavy, it's subtle. And that wears on you after a while. You have to press harder on these triggers after so long. And that makes the game more difficult, is because I felt myself, flipping between my pointer finger and then my middle finger. And, you know, to me, that's an entertaining aspect, is because it allows the game to kind of gauge where you're at, or you to gauge where you're at in the game in a specific level. But these rifts in the dimensions, they allow you to hop around the battle, the map, the small battle map, at ease. This game is so fluid. There is virtually zero wait times between levels, between cutscenes, between passing through dimensions. That's one of the big sellers of this game, is that it showcases everything that the PS5 is capable of. And if the PS5 is capable of this game now, what is the PS5 going to be capable of in 3 years, 5 years? We saw the PS4 grow exponentially in its lifetime. And, you know, we're awestruck by when the PS4 was first released, and then, you know, when the PS5 came out, how far the PS4 had come. I'm stoked to see where Sony and their in-house developers can take the PS5. And Insomniac has made so many strides with the Spider-Man games, with this Ratchet and Clank game. The transitioning between scenes and the speeds at which they do that, and then I forget what the game runs at, 30 frames per second. So, I guess it's on the low end of 4K. Maybe it's on the high end. I don't know. But that's what it runs at on 4K. But the fact that this game just so seamlessly transitions between scene to scene, cutscene to plane, and it's so beautiful. You see individual hairs of fur on Rivet and Ratchet, and the movements of these characters, and there's no latency, nothing. I mean, it's so great. And granted, I haven't played anything on a Series X or S, so I can't speak to like a first person title on that console, but man, the PS5 is dope. That's the bottom line is that the PS5 is a badass piece of technology, and this game just showcases it. And if you're a Sony fan, you're a PlayStation fanboy, you're a Ratchet and Clank fanboy. If you're a Ratchet and Clank fanboy, you probably already played this. But, there's no excuse why you wouldn't play this game. Other than that you don't have a PS5 and it's exclusive for the PS5. But, a real quick mention that some of the things that I didn't like, but and while this is the best Ratchet and Clank game I've ever played, some of the planets and the levels and the planets, they feel a bit recycled from other Ratchet and Clank games. Not everything feels brand new, and if you've played a lot of the Ratchet and Clank games, you might notice that. And, you know, while the planets may be the same, I feel like they probably could have gone the extra step and made the levels vastly different in some of these planets. But, you know, I found myself, I got all the guns that you could get in the game. But they're not every gun has a every gun has a purpose, but not every gun is useful. Like there's one that's called the topiary sprinkler, and essentially it's a gun that shoots a plant that covers your enemy and a plant and makes them immobile for a brief period. Well, you then have to transition to another gun to shoot at the enemy that you made immobile. But by the time you've switched to this other gun that you're going to fire actual damaging ammunition at, the topiary sprinkler effect is already worn off, and the enemy's mobile again. And so it's just like, Some of them aren't, I think some of them are more gimmicky than anything else, and that's fine. I don't agree with just throwing things in just because they look funny or they do something that's comical if they don't serve a purpose. And the game isn't overly comical. Like, the game, I mean, it takes itself relatively serious, but it does have its comedic moments, particularly by Dr. Nefarious and one of these, I forget his name, but he looks like Mr. Incredible from The Incredibles. But they provide some comic relief throughout the game. But the game isn't, it isn't meant to be exclusively funny. And so when you have gameplay elements that poke fun or do something that is funny, but they take up space, and they're never really worth the price of admission to using them, I have a problem with that. But these are nitpicks. I'm nitpicking to find something to talk about here. You know, there is an arena feature on one of the planets where you can go through different battles. And, you know, you have to continuously progress from level 1 to level 2. And they send the battle arena sends different waves of enemies at you. And you have to continuously clear them. And if you get past level 5, then you get, suits. Customizable suits that do have different effects. And then if you get all the same type of suit, you have a helmet, you have a chest piece, and you have pants or boots, you get added bonus. So that's cool. There are Clank puzzles that, that remind me of the old Lemmings game I played as a kid on the PC, where you have a bunch of little Clanks that are running around, and you have to change their direction by hitting something, and you have, electricity that zaps them and makes them electric, or you have a weightless feature that you use and it makes them float, or a speed feature which makes them super fast and you can use them in combination. Those are cool. Those were cool levels. I enjoyed those. That's just an added like mini game within the main story. I think it was Glitch that had a little spider robot that you encountered different, like, electrical terminals throughout the game that were shut down due to viruses. And Glitch would go up to the terminal, and she'd put, like, a little robot spider in the terminal, and you would then play as a little robot spider going around these levels that looked like the inside of a computer, and you would be tasked with destroying all the viruses and then unlocking you know, the terminal, which then gave you, you know, a bunch of bolts or, you know, some sort of reward. That's another mini game. So these things add to the gameplay. They don't take away from it. It's because they're not so frequent that you're like, another one of these. They're scattered enough to where when you encounter another one, you're like, oh, I liked the last time I did this one, so let me go ahead and do it again. You know, the game ends on an emotional note. Like I said, it's I find it hard to believe that in the next Ratchet and Clank game won't feature Rivet in some way. She's a fantastic addition to the franchise. I could even see her getting her own franchise where it's a bit different. The gameplay elements are a little bit different. The stories are a little bit different. You know, her companion and Glitch, which, spoiler, her and Glitch end up getting teamed up together. And so they develop a dynamic like Ratchet and Clank, but it's Rivet and Glitch. Glitch has a transformation into a huge mech who kind of looks like that robot, the Michelin Man robot from Big Hero 6 when he puts on the armor. I could see that being the next evolutionary step in these games, is where, you know, Rivet gets her own series and Ratchet gets his own series. And you know, I think this game did a lot of world building. It did a lot of character development. We got a lot of emotional storytelling on both Ratchet and Rivet. And then, you know, it's a Ratchet and Clank game through and through. And these games are always fantastic. They're always loads of fun to play. You know, they're not incredibly difficult, so you can pretty much breeze through them. You know, I think it took probably about 2 weeks for me to beat the game, but that's just playing, you know, an hour here, you know, 45 minutes there, a couple hours, you know, on a Saturday. But if you have the ability, play this game. I guarantee you it'll be at the top of your game of the year list, should you have one. It's a PS5 exclusive. It came out on June 11th, so you should be able to get it anywhere you get games at. Good luck getting a PS5. I hear those are still hard to come by. But, you know, that's I would give this game a 9.5. If I'm rating it out of 10, it gets a 9.5 from me. I wish it was a little bit longer, but I understand why it's not. And that's at no detriment to the gameplay or anything else. It's just I wish it was longer so I could continue to play the game more. And then it does have a new game plus mode where you can play on an increased difficulty with all of your equipment that you've amassed through the game, and, you know, attempt to get the platinum trophies and the various other trophies. So that's Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart. What else have I been playing? I've been playing a little bit of Biomutant. It's a PS4 title. I think it was out on the Xbox One, but it came out, I think, early, like back in March or April. It's different. I wish I had the time to dive into it today, but there's a lot of good that it's trying to do. It just doesn't succeed. I'm gonna finish playing it. It's got a pretty large map. You can customize your character. You play as this, like, rat-looking thing. It's got a very Eastern samurai type vibe to it. And it's just different enough to keep you interested. But I'm quickly finding that those interesting things are only on the surface, and there's nothing past it. So my advice, skip it. Don't attempt to, you know, play it thinking, oh, if I just stick with it for another couple hours, I'm gonna get more out of it. what you get is what you get. And while some of the things are well done, others are not. And, you know, I'm going to stick with it just because I'm like 60% of the way through it. But yeah, so that's Biomutant. I'm playing the PS4 version, but it's on PS4, Xbox One, and the Switch, maybe? It might be on the Switch. And I've read that it's coming out on the PS5 and the Series X. So look out for that. You can... if you want to continue to support the podcast, we have a Patreon. Patreon.com/BudgetArcade. Sure. Scott will correct that in post. But you can also support us on our socials. You know, we're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. We're on TikTok. And... you know, just search Budget Arcade. It comes right up and just hit that follow, like, subscribe. We're on YouTube. You can find all of our podcasts on YouTube. And what else? Next week, we are reviewing Diarrhea Castle. Don't ask. Just play along. Leave us some commentary in our Discord. That's where you can find all of us. Me, Scott, Jeff, Elliot sometimes. But you know, join our community. We'd love to have you. You can, you'll find that in the link in the show notes. So, Diarrhea Castle next week, follow along, leave us some commentary in the Discord, and we'll catch you next week.
Podcast Network.